Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone. This is Chris Miles here, cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur here on the Chris Miles Money Show, welcoming you out today. Having a wonderful and great show that I'm excited for, especially for those of you that love being in business and love being able to really take that next level. Man, I cannot tell you how excited I am for our guest today, Tiffany Peterson. But before we get into her, let me remind you that, you know, be sure to check out our website, moneyripples.com. That's MoneyRipples.com. There are lots of great blogs. Just posted one today. There's all kinds of fun things on there, events and things coming up. So be sure to check that out and kind of stay tuned with us. Also, if you haven't downloaded my free ebook, Beyond Rice and Beans, 7 Secrets to Free Up Cash Today, do so, because I'll tell you, if you want some quick and easy ways to free up cash, especially where my average clients freed up on average $33,000 in their first year, I'd recommend you do so. So, anyways, really excited, like I said, to be on this call today. You know, how many of you, especially those of you that are in business, how many of you felt a little bit kind of weird about sales? I mean, or felt a little bit uncomfortable about it? Maybe felt a little bit icky, if that's a masculine enough word I can use, right? You know, how many of you have felt a little bit weird about it? That's something that a lot of my clients, and I know a lot of people I've worked with, sometimes they get hung up on. They have something great, of great value to offer to the world, something amazing, but then they just get stuck. They feel like they're just there. You know, they just feel like they got something great, but they're afraid to share it. And it's so hard when you know that there's other people out there that potentially have something that's probably not nearly as serving to other people as what you might offer. And so that's why I'm grateful to have Tiffany on with us. You know, Tiffany, I'll tell you, not only is she like the founder of Lighthouse Principles, and not only is she an amazing, great professional speaker and things of that nature, but I'll tell you, like, even on a personal level, knowing Tiffany is that she is the real deal. You know, Tiffany here, I mean, she worked for companies like Stephen Covey, also things like with Rich Dad Poor Dad and places like that, but I'll tell you, the thing is, knowing her from a personal level, I mean, she really does live what she teaches. You know, and that's what amazes me about people. That's why I like having people like that on the show. I don't want people that are posers. You know, and Tiffany's definitely not one of those people. Tiffany's one of those people that really lives what she preaches. She's taken that sales experience and applied it to you, but more importantly, she's able to apply it in a way that really gets you to not just have more money, or not just have more sales, but in order to really do it in a way that's abundant and prosperous, something that really is of huge, huge value. So I'm excited to have Tiffany on. Tiffany, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you.
You bet. So Tiffany, tell my listeners here, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, geez, that's a loaded question. So
of course.
That's short and sweet, but thank you for your kind introduction. And yeah, I think the short and the sweet is I was going to be a special education teacher, and I taught for a few years in Salt Lake City classrooms and children with Down syndrome and autism and behavioral challenges and learning disabilities. And so I never thought I would ever be in sales, which I think many of you can relate to as well. As you go back to being 8 or 9 or 10 years of age, and you think about, what did I want to be when I grew up? And Chris, as you think about that and as I think about that and every audience, if I ask that question, you often hear really common responses like I was going to be a doctor or a veterinarian or a teacher, or sometimes I was going to be a rock star, a singer, performer, or a baseball player.
Right.
And most of us, when we're growing up, we're not thinking, I hope I end up in sales. And neither are our parents saying, gosh, I hope when Tiffany grows up or when Chris grows up or Michael or Maria or Barbara or whoever grows up, I hope that my child ends up in being in sales. And so, like many of you, I assume you thought you were going to be doing something different than what you're doing, not realizing that life is sales, right? And that sales ultimately then is relationships and our ability to communicate and support, serve, lead, and inspire, influence other people in helping them create positive change. So that, you mentioned a little bit about that. So I obviously did not end up being in special ed and changed my major, and I went on to work for Franklin Covey, Stephen Covey's work, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and selling coaching for them, and went on to work for some of these other big brands. And again, I never thought I was going to be in sales. I was just so super passionate about the content, and I was willing to work hard. And that passion and content you know, pays off at some level. And then over the years, I've fine-tuned some skill to that, the mindset and skill set to thrive in sales. But it's really my heart's passion and my purpose to help other people create a sustainable income, you know, doing what they love, right? Many of you on this call or listening to this recording, you'll be able to realize that you might be the best personal coach out there or best health coach or professional organizer, or you might wholeheartedly know that your products and services help people lose weight or get healthy or whatever your thing is. But your number one skill set for sure is your ability to sell. It's also, as you know, Chris, the number one area that people struggle with the most, and they get stuck because of what we're talking about at some level is that mindset. If you have this fear, this resistance, we think that we, you know, being in sales or being associated to being in sales means that we're salesy, that we're pushy, we're manipulative. I just invite you to all think about the first word that comes to mind, or first more important feeling that comes to mind when you hear the word sales or selling. 99% of the time, it's a negative association, and you never outperform your belief system. And so if at the core belief level, you're still dealing with, I have fear around selling, I have fear about putting myself out there, asking for an appointment, asking, you know, for the sale, that's definitely going to be limiting you in your finances and in your outcome.
That's exactly it. Yeah, it's kind of interesting how your path takes you a different direction than you expected, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Now, what do you expect about
first? That's life for most of us. My life looks really different than the way I thought it was going to look, that's for sure.
Well, I'm grateful it did. That's fantastic. So, yeah, definitely kind of expound on that a little bit more. I mean, why do you think people have such a negative stigma towards sales? I mean, why do you think that's the case? Where does that come from?
Well, I think a lot of it's residual energy, just meaning it's just carried over time. I think more and more people realize the power. Like today, we live in a time frame where there's massive amounts of connectivity through social media. And everything is heavily relationship-oriented, our connections, our socializing. You know, we often, you know, human beings buy from those they know, like, and trust. That means relationship is at the center of success in sales. Yet, where people were still carrying the old belief system, and when you look at fear, right, Chris, like, there's some dominant fears, fear like fear of success, fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear, fear, fear. But when you really scale back most fears, right, like you look at the fear of rejection, or you look at the fear of failure, or the fear of success, or the fear, you know, being criticized, is really, it's at the core level, is the fear family all resides in the same home, which is, what will other people think of me? And some people are so triggered, or so, there's so much, their self-esteem is 100% in the opinions of other people.
Right.
And to some people, it's not an issue, and a lot of us somewhere in between. I mean, I do care what other people think. I care about my relationships. I care about my brand, my image, my, you know, I would be lying not to say I don't care about it. I just think it's keeping it in check that we're, again, where often it's the, what will other people think of me? Are they going to judge me? Are they going to feel like I'm selling to them? Especially women tend to struggle with this a little bit more, is the, you know, gosh, I don't want to be pushy. I don't want to be salesy. I don't want to be aggressive. But women or men, no one wants those identifications, and that's what, just over time, when you hear sales, a common word that shows up in my presentations live, if we were taking feedback off this call, would be the phrase, used car salesperson, or manipulative, or dishonest, or aggressive. These are all terms and feelings that we don't want anything to be associated to ourselves. So oftentimes we show up hiding, or we think, well, gosh, Chris knows what I do. Or so-and-so, my audience, they know what I do. If they're interested, they'll let me know, rather than being willing to risk and put ourselves out there. So I just think a lot of it is, it's the story in our mind. It's past experiences. It's past belief about what it means to be in sales. But really, when you think about people that are great in sales, they've really learned how to master two things. One, they're mastering the art of relationship, right? Their connection, as I teach in my sales training, is that connection equals client equals cash, or connection leads to conversion, connection leads to contract, whatever alliteration you want to put in there. But connection is the heart, and our ability to nurture relationships and our ability to serve people, to listen, to seek first to understand, diagnose, then prescribe, right? These concepts of we show up to serve, we add value, because really when we're people that are thriving in sales, they're not pushy, they're not dishonest, they're not manipulative. It's not to say, does that still exist out there? Sure. But we've evolved a lot as human beings, and where everything is so much on the internet these days, and people caring so much about, you know, their brand image and relationships that it really has moved off from that. We just are carrying around some archaic beliefs matched with some folks being extremely self-conscious about the what are other people going to think of me? Are they going to judge me? Am I going to look bad? And they care more about approval than they care about serving someone else. And so really when we look at, you and I have had this conversation many times, it's how you run your practice and help many people in their finances, is you truly come from a service-oriented position where you show up to serve them, even if they don't hire you. You're serving left and right all the time. Service leads to sales. And so when we can shift out of the fear, again, fear is the number one self-sabotage aspect, that when we shift out of the fear, we're shifting more into service and saying, I'm here to serve you and add value, whether you buy from me or not. I'm going to nurture the relationship. I'm going to, you know, give juicy value to you. And many people then do go on to buy when we show up and play sales from that angle. I mean, what's your thought to that same question?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. You got to sell to serve, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can't serve people if you're not selling. And selling doesn't always mean, like you're saying, I think most people think that selling is something that's where it's a takeaway, right? It's something where you're taking and not giving back. It's something where, it's almost like many people I know with money have this very win-lose mentality. Mm-hmm. They have a scarcity mentality around money as well as around their business and sales. And so they believe that, well, in order for me to prosper, somebody else has got to take from somebody else. I gotta hurt somebody else. And so if I want to be a benevolent person, I have to suffer. I have to not prosper. I have to not, become, more wealthy so that other people can become wealthier themselves. They believe it's just so much of the pie, and if I take more of the pie, that's wrong. And I see sales as a very direct correlation with that money type of mindset is, well, if I'm selling more, if I'm taking more from people, then they're not getting value back. But what you said was key is that, money always follows value.
Mm-hmm.
If you give something that's of true value, they're not going to exchange money with you unless they believe they're going to get more value than what they're paying you for. They'd rather have that value in their life, or essentially, if it's something to do with you, a service or product, they'd rather have you or your business in their life than not having it at all,
mm-hmm.
versus just having that money sitting in their pocket and doing nothing. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a key thing to remember is that, people will only exchange money with you if they believe that what you're giving them is more valuable than what they pay for. And if you think of it from that standpoint, unless you're lying, cheating, stealing, or whatever you might be doing, I mean, unless you're a charlatan, if you're doing it from a noble place, there's no way that it's a bad transaction. In fact, you're serving them by selling them more.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's true. It's a lot of times just being in that space that the very thing they need is to buy from you, to have the tools, the products, the service, the support to achieve what they want. And I love one of the things is you were highlighting value again and this concept. There's this quote by Jim Rohn where he says, you don't get paid for the hour. You get paid for the value you bring to the hour. And even though some of you on this call or listening to the recording, you might be truly an hourly paid employee, but it's based off the value that you're providing that organization or perceived value. And so it's this concept, Tony Robbins, where he says dollars follow value and increasing it. One thing I do know for sure is that people buy from those they know, like, and trust. I'm not the first person to say it. I won't be the last. It's common knowledge. You hear that often. And so it's really thinking about, it's about the quality of your relationships. And there's something I want to share with you I think is incredibly valuable. It was for me, it's game-changing awareness for me for two reasons. And what this awareness is simply what I teach is called the law of four interactions. And what that's really backing up is there's some research, there's lots of research around this, but the one particular study I'm quoting is by a gentleman named Herbert True out of Notre Dame University, where they observed thousands and thousands of sales interactions. And what they came to guesstimate as looking at, again, all this data, was that on average, 60%, write this number down, 60% of all business transactions take place after a fourth interaction. 60%, that means that's what we call your tipping point. Is there business that will happen before a fourth interaction and lots of business after a fourth interaction? Absolutely. But all that information does is back up what I've just said, which is it's relationship oriented. and people buying from those they know, like, and trust, which requires some time. You know, sales and dating have a lot in common, where most of us don't go on a first date and then we're engaged to be married on that first date, right? Is there's a process of nurturing a relationship to move it to a higher level commitment. And same is true for sales. Now, what's also interesting about that same research study is that 44% of all salespeople or solutions providers, the language I prefer, that 44% of all of you, basically, and myself included, will quit after a first contact. Another 24% after a second contact, another 14% after a third, and another 12% after a fourth contact. I'll do the math for you. That means 94% of people quit after a fourth contact, with the majority of those folks quitting after a first. So 6%, right? And it's kind of looking at what results do you think the 6% have. They have awesome results. Because you've heard the phrase, right, it fortunes in your follow-through and the ability to follow up and so forth. But what I'd like you to understand about that is, I think why I would say it's game-changing awareness is, one, to know that, hey, are you in it for the long haul? Are you building an empire? Are you building sustainable, massive levels of success? Or are you looking for the quick fix of, yes, I just want to make a hurry, make a quick deal, rather than you're creating a massive network of relationships? As Robert Kiyosaki has said, your network equals your net worth. Sure, he's not the first to say it. I heard it first from him, being mentored by him when I was working his brand. My Tiffany Peterson-ism to that is the quality of your network equals your net worth. Because when we come from that perspective is, are we actively nourishing it? So what I love about the law of four interactions is your tipping point is about 60%. That means the bulk of your business, the bulk of my business, the bulk of Chris's business takes place after some time is invested, especially the higher your price points go or the more commitment is involved for your prospect. One last final thing I want to share, and then I'm curious to have you check in with me and add what comes up for you or any other questions you want to navigate this next to. So I was listening to this program a week or so ago, and it was on sales, right? Always fine-tuning my own craft, someone else's work. And this gentleman was sharing how, you know, the power of follow-up, right? Thinking of law of four interactions. We're going to make multiple contacts. We're going to continue to reach out. Again, why I think that's powerful is then we can get out of the stinking thinking that if we call someone once or send them one email and they don't respond or they say no, thank you, it just tells you have more time to invest in the relationship rather than taking it personally and shutting down and, you know, all the second guessing and self-doubt talk that can show up. But this gentleman I was listening to last week said this phrase. He said, the difference between between a contact and a contract is one letter. And that letter is the letter R. From contact, right, as we're contacting people, to contract, that one letter being R, standing for relationship, is the difference between moving from your contacts and nurturing others. By the way, I call them connection calls versus sales calls, is that if you're naturally connecting and you're reaching out, seeking to serve others, how are you, how's life, how's business, is there anything I can do to support you, you're organically going to have more sales because you're nurturing relationships. But I love that saying is the difference between making those connection calls and reaching out to people from contacting to contract is the letter R, and that is about nourishing our relationship. So I think when we can come at it from this angle, we're going to show up to serve, we're adding value, whether we get paid or not, whether we get the deal or not, we're going to become masterful at connection. Because I believe what makes someone masterful at selling is two things. What I just said, mastering connection, in essence, how you make other people feel and that you nurture those relationships. And secondly, that you master the art of asking great questions, that you're going to ask more, talk less when you're interacting, which is also a deposit in your relationships when we show up from that angle. I'd love anything that stood out to you there or anything that you want to elaborate on.
Oh, my goodness. And we could seriously create several episodes just from that one little concept right there, just those three things. I can't tell you how much that has been true in my own life. I think relationships has been the key. You know, so I've told people I just stop networking. I'm like, I hate networking. Like, I don't network at all. I build relationships. It's always about building that. I don't go out throwing business cards at people left and right trying to be desperately seeking people's business. I'm going out trying to make a few good connections. And then from there, continuing to build a relationship. I could care less if I don't talk to another 50 people that might be in the room if I can connect with two or three.
Yeah.
So quality, not quantity for me. I don't know if that's kind of what you see to be true too, Tiffany.
Yeah. No, I think it's 100% true. That's why I say the quality of your network equals your net worth, not just
yeah.
network. We all have networks. We're all connected to people, from people we went to grade school with, to social media, to our churches or neighborhoods. I mean, we all have connections or relationships or a network. It's the quality of those connections. And I agree with you, is that when you show up to a live event, you show up to a networking event, you show up anywhere, and when you have the mindset of, you know, I'm here to serve and be of value to other people, you create those great connections. I'm with you. I'd rather have 10, you know, 100 foot deep wells in great relationships, great connections, great clients or affiliates than 100 1 foot deep wells. Because those deep relationships, you know, people create, you know, for yourself, they create introductions, they take referrals. One thing I want to share here, Chris, this is up for me. I was teaching my own. I have a series I do every August called the Sales Summit Series, where I do 4 of my 8 coaching modules in sales for free. And in that experience, I was just training on this earlier today, about an hour and a half ago, around this concept of nurturing your network and relationships, where a lot of people I find get it, where they miss the mark or where they really are leaving a ton of money and opportunity on the table, is in their existing clientele. Is when you think about whether you're in direct sales or you're self-employed or you work corporately for sales, whatever it is that you're doing, is we often put our attention on recruiting new business, right? New clients, new clients, new clients. And although we should put some time there, where your gold mine is nurturing and taking care of your existing clients or your previous clientele. Again, where people buy from those they know, like, and trust, it's being aware of that concept where, how often do you nurture your existing clients? By nurture, that might be cards, it might be gifts, it might be a phone call, it might be a note in the mail, it might be, you know, what I'm saying, a lunch or something like that. Is how often are you nurturing the people that are already in your network or already in your, you know, been in your business, been a client, or they're an existing client? I find that if people take excellent care of their clientele, their clients often take care of their business. You've probably seen that as well in your business, that you get referrals and a lot of word of mouth. Like for me, my personal coaching, I haven't had to advertise for that, for coaching clients, for a couple of years. Is my existing clientele, I take great care of them, and then they're out sharing it, or their results speak for themselves, the combination of them sharing or their lives transforming or their sales transforming, that other people naturally, you know, inquire, and that business is always stocked, and I don't share that boastfully. It's just the aspect of, for any of you, same thing, is take care of your existing clients and nurture them and make them feel important. I think really the 7-figure question is this aspect, when we're talking about connecting and therefore talking about sales, is how often do other people feel important in your presence?
Right.
7-figure thinking is how often do other people in my life, and this is true personally as well as professionally, how often do the people in my life feel important to me? And I just think, man, when we live that way, right, and we show up in business that way, one, it helps, I think, eliminate the fear of being salesy and all that ick factor that, you know, keeps you stuck. And secondly, it creates massive, massive opportunity for you when you create a business built on that principle of service and connecting and helping other people feel important to you. We've all had the experience of being heavily courted for someone to get our business. And then once they have our business, the service, you know, drops dramatically or whatnot. And we've also all had the experience, it's probably more the rare than the common, but that's, you know, where the opportunity lies, is we've had the experience of buying from someone and having an excellent customer service, what I call the extra mile club, right, is that you join that path and say, look, I'm going to go the extra mile. I'm going to do what you do after the sale is made. That is 7-figure thinking as well. It's what do I do after the sale is made? What do they receive from me then, right? After I've already got their credit card or they're already billed or we've already, you know, shipped out what do we do after the sales transactions happen? That is on the path of that top 6% as well.
Awesome. Amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen. That's right. Now, one thing I've noticed, too, is it's not even just the interactions, it's even the patience. I've noticed sometimes it might be a year and a half, 2 years down the road that those people just kind of walk back into your life because you focus on serving them, you focus on making them important and going that extra mile. And you know, they kind of show up just randomly. Sometimes they become clients, sometimes they refer you to great people, or whatever it might be, that it seems like they show up to serve you, or they somehow will connect you to someone who can also serve you, too. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that to be true as well?
Yeah. I just think it's having longer-term vision. When I teach in one of my segments, I talk about the P's of success: passion, patience, and persistence. And patience, I find, is the one that comes up most commonly, whether I'm on a group coaching call or I'm speaking to a live audience in, you know, this aspect where it's patience. It's not happening fast enough. We do live in a time where we get, you know, we start griping if our internet connection isn't fast enough, or fast food or 1 hour dry cleaning, or, you know, instantaneous. There's so much that we're exposed to. Realizing, though, that, again, if you're in the business of building an empire and building long-term massive wealth, massive opportunity and success, it's going to require you to be patient. It's going to require you to have a longer-term vision as the running the marathon versus the sprint. And I'm with you. I mean, there's many clients. There's speaking gigs. There's deals that they take time. I've just landed an awesome sales contract that's taken me about 6 months from our first meeting and then proposal and to do this training for this particular awesome company, and it's taken time. Some sales cycles take 6 years, right? Or some of them take 6 minutes, and it's just different, you know, of the aspect of where you're coming from is having, though, that longer-term vision, right, and realizing, you know, that some people are going to take more time, and that's normal. Here's one truth I've learned about life, period, and this is true in sales, it's true in personal life, it's true in everything. There's a whole lot you can't control, really, at the end of the day. You can't control if someone says yes or buys from you. You can't control the weather, politics. You can't control your children. You can't control a whole lot. You can influence those things, but you can't control them. Really, the only thing we have any true control over is how we show up. And so it's, how do I choose to show up is a question, right? And to really entertain is, how do I choose to show up in this experience? How do I choose to navigate this? How do I choose to nurture my relationships, right? It's coming from that place and that angle where we're choosing to add value, whether we get paid or not, right? We're choosing to nurture other people in that space. And what does start to happen is naturally results start coming. It's that law of the harvest or nurturing the garden. The results of the crops always come when we nurture and tend to it. It may not come overnight, just like if a woman gets pregnant. You know, that seed literally gets planted. She's likely not having a baby for 9 months. And if she does have it sooner, prematurely, that baby can have major complications as well as not even survive. So it's trusting the process that some things take 6 minutes, some things take, you know, 3 years. But if we're consistent in how we show up and how we treat other people, how we nurture our business, then we will meet with success in those experiences.
Awesome. Love it. We got about a minute here, Tiffany. I want you to talk about your event, Elevation, coming up. I know I'm going to be there, but I want to hear what you have to say about that.
Yeah, every fall, my premier event of the year is called Elevation. It's 2.5 days. It's September 11th that evening through the 13th. And it goes through in detail the same coaching strategies I work with my 6- and 7-figure clients or those who have hired me to become such. So we go through belief breakthrough and self-confidence and how to grow your, you know, network and then into your business tool set, sales and marketing. And it's 2.5 days. It's awesome. It's a big transformational party. It takes place in Salt Lake City, Utah, this September 11th through the 13th. Chris has a link on his site that he'll direct to that will give you all that information. There's tons of bonuses and opportunities there. But if you're serious about growing fast, right, really that's my target market, is if you're wanting to advance double, triple your sales in a short amount of time, then that would be an event for you to consider coming out to.
I agree. I was there last year. It was amazing, and I paid to go again this year. It's worth it. I'd say anybody who's serious about their business that really wants to take that next level, I'm telling you, this is worth it. And I know that sounds a little bit cliche to say take it to the next level, but I'll tell you, it's just something you have to experience. It's worth it. So
we'll have a good time. It'll be fun to have you there again and the audience coming together.
Absolutely. Well, Tiffany, thank you for being on. This is great. If they want to, well, I know we're running out of time. Again, like, we got a link to everything there. Again, thank you so much for being on today.
Thank you so much. Good luck, everyone.
You bet. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.